It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 13. The 12th verse is where we're going to begin reading. So please that you open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13, verse 12, so we can begin the study. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, please do. The address would be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. A lot of times I know folks are traveling when they're listening to the study. It doesn't matter as long as you come. It's a hearing of the Word of God, so please listen carefully. Exodus 13:12, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast, which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And the firstlings of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in a time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token unto thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of the hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study today. Father, we thank you that we can come and enjoy this time as we have moved the nation of Israel, the tribes of Israel, out of Egypt. And we are in travel right now, and so please that you will guide and lead us and show us each and every part that would apply to our hearts. And just things, dear Lord, there's not one part of your word that doesn't apply at some part or another to our lives, changing us. First of all, we need to see the need of redemption, this need to be redeemed. And redeemed, of course, only through the blood of Jesus Christ. So please that you would guide and lead us. Show us your way and will today, that we may be born again and begin to walk a life that is pleasing to you. And we need to do and be pleasing to you. So please guide and lead us today now, dear Father. Grow us today if we're born again, and save us if we're not. Please, dear Lord, we thank and praise you for all the blessings you've given us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we begin here, and it's the we kind of come midstream right here from the study that we were together last time. And as we look at it, why, it shall come to pass when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto thee and unto thy fathers, and shall give to thee, thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, the womb, the firstlings that cometh of the beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with the lamb, and if thou shalt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck. Everything, even that old donkey, he needs to be redeemed, the first. Now, that animal, you know, have you clean and unclean? Well, this ass that it's talking about here is an unclean animal. It still needs to be redeemed. And what a picture that gives for you and for me. You know, even though we are an unclean, we are dirty, we're filthy, we need to be redeemed. And there's nothing we can do to redeem ourselves. And so this old donkey, this old ass that it has here, it's talking about, is probably one of the best examples of you and me and what we need in salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what a beautiful picture it gives us. We need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And they were to take a lamb. Well, that's exactly who saved us, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, redeemed us. We couldn't do it. We didn't have it. And if you weren't redeemed, in other words, if this donkey wasn't redeemed, it was to be destroyed. And so you see what happens to us, because if we're not redeemed, we're going to need to be destroyed. And that doesn't mean that we would put some, that we have the right to put somebody to death, but that's exactly what's going to take place. At their time of death, they will be destroyed. Now, not to where they're just totally disintegrated and have no existence at all, because we've spent too much time talking about where our eternal homes will be. And I said that plural because it is. There are two places where each and every individual will spend, at one or the other, for eternity. You're either going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, or you're going to spend eternity in heaven in the presence of God. Those that are redeemed will go to heaven. Those that are not redeemed, will go to the lake of fire. And we have that right here in this picture, but that's a perfect picture. And if you don't like being called an old donkey, well, that's what we are. In God's eyes, you know, we have this opinion of ourselves that we're really something. We're important, we're strong, we're smart, we can do everything. Well, in God's eyes, we're just, every work that we've ever had is just filthy rags. You know, God loves us, but he can't look upon us, he can't stand us because of sin. And so he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And that's the picture that we have here. So even that old donkey, he needs to be, if the firstborn has to be redeemed, but he can't redeem himself, he has to be redeemed by another. And that's exactly what you and I have got to face. And we talked about just a little bit in the last time we were together that, you know, that the comment could be made by one of these Israelites that, my land, we've just gotten out of bondage. We were slaves all of our life. We have just gained some wealth from the Egyptians here, as we have spoiled those to them to bring with us. But we have never, we've had nothing. And yet you're telling us that now you want our firstborn? And he's, and yes, he is. It's just that simple. He wants our firsts. He wants our very best given to him. That's in time, our very best in the money, the first in the money. He wants that. He doesn't want what's left over. Our God redeemed us, if you're a born-again believer. And we owe him our best and our first, and we owe him that. We don't owe him our leftovers. And he's asking for that right here. And so I want you to see that. And the sign, and we're going to begin that. I want to back up because it kind of refers to it once again a little later of verses that we've just read. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And we're talking about the unleavened bread, and we're talking about the Passover. And when you do that, when you get into the land and you begin to celebrate this Passover, then I want you to be prepared to teach your children. Because when they ask, you show your son, thou shalt show thy son in that day. And so, you know, don't just sit back and wait for them. One of the other verses of Scripture says, when they ask, you tell them. Here it says, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is why. God performed a miracle, and he went after the Egyptians, and he delivered us out of bondage. That's my God, and that's our Savior. And we need to tell our sons and our daughters what God has done for us. We need to be that kind of a testimony and that kind of a witness. And so it begins now, or continues now, with the 13th verse, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of men among thy children shalt thou redeem. Now you do not follow through with that same process here, even though we just talked about how we are unclean and we're a lot like that old donkey. But the firstborn of man was redeemed by 5 shekels of silver. Now you'll find all through the Word of God, all through the Word of God, that silver stands for the blood, for the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. And so right here we have this picture of 5 shekels. We get a little further into it. In order to be a part of the family of God, we will find that they will each give just a half of shekel. Now, half of shekel was a very little amount, a very small amount that everyone, it wasn't something everyone could possess, a half a shekel of silver. And if you remember, these people are just slaves. How did they get their silver? How did they get their gold? How did they get these jewels? If they listened to the Word of God, God said, go get it from the Egyptians, and they'll give it to you. And they did. But if you didn't go, if you didn't believe, if you didn't trust, you see, you didn't gain that opportunity. And if you come before him now, at this time when you had to give this half of shekel, which isn't too far ahead of us here, they had to give that half of shekel, or you had to give the 5 shekels for your firstborn male. You didn't have it. Why didn't you have it? It's because you did not listen to the Word of God. You may be very religious, you may have done everything, but when God told you to do that, you just didn't trust him. You didn't believe him. And today, if he's telling you, you need to come by faith. You need to come by faith and trust in him. He says, no, you know, my church doesn't teach that. I have been baptized. I am a faithful member of my church. And so I've done everything. I take the Lord's Supper. I do everything. I work. I'm a deacon or an elder in the church. But I've done everything. And so you must be born again. This coming by faith, I don't believe it. And so if you don't believe it, then salvation's not yours. If the man didn't believe God's word and says, go to that Egyptian and take that from him, and he'll give it to you. If you didn't believe him and you backed away, why, you didn't have any silver. And if you didn't have any silver, you couldn't redeem him. And if they're not redeemed, then they're not a part of the family of God. And this took place at their birth here as a picture of, you know, they had circumcision and they also had this 5 shekels of silver. You'll find that again in Numbers 18:16 is where that command has come. And so all the firstborn of men among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come. There was the question. When the son asks you, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of bondage. It came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of men and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token unto thine hand, and the frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. Now we're going to stop reading right there, but that's exactly what the father is to tell the son and tell the children. He says, you know, when we do this, when we have this celebration of the unleavened bread, the celebration of the Passover, when they would see a child born and there's this 5 shekels of silver, you need to be ready to explain that. You need to be ready to tell. And one place it says here, show thy children in that day, in the 8th verse. And now over here, if they come to you and ask about this day and about this time, you tell them. And you know, that's the saddest condition today of a father not telling his son or his daughter about Jesus Christ. Not going back and explaining to his family and his children that they were, you know, I was a sinner. I was lost. I was searching for something, and somebody brought me this word, and then I began to read the word, and it was different than any book I'd ever read. And my, I already had 3 or 4 Bibles, but. And this word was in the Bible, but I just had never seen it. It wasn't brought to my attention before, the need of salvation, the need of being born again. It was just never brought to me. And, you know, when I begin to read John chapter 3, and then I went through through Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and then there was 6:23, and then there was 5:8, and then I got to the 10th chapter in Romans, and I began to read from the 7th or 8th verse, and I read all the way down through the 13th, the 14th verse, and then I began to read before it and after each one of those verses to see that it wasn't taken out of context, and it wasn't. And then the Spirit of God began to deal with my heart through that word. And I got down on my knees, halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house, and I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He came in to live within my heart. And from that day on, I have never been the same individual, because I am born again. Now, that's the story that we need to tell our children. Now, that story could change for you because you have a different experience of how you were saved. You may have been saved in the church. You may have been saved at the home. You may have been saved at some revival meeting somewhere. It's hard to tell. It may be just a neighbor came over and shared the gospel with you, and the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, convicted your heart, and you said, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. I don't know how you were saved, but, you know, many times the reason we don't talk about this to our children is because we're not taught ourselves. And so that's what we do here. We teach the Word of God so that you're prepared to teach your children. We're not leaving it up to some Christian school. We're not even leaving it up to the Sunday school teacher. We're not leaving it up to the preacher. We're leaving that to the responsibility of that husband, that father, to do that. And he needs to do that. And if you're a young lady and you're not married and you have children, then I guess it's going to begin to be your responsibility. That shouldn't be. That sure wasn't God's plan. But if that's the situation, please, yourself come by faith to Jesus Christ, and please teach your children the Word of God. Men, it's our responsibility, and we need to do it. Did I do it the way I should have done it? No, I didn't. But I know by looking and by watching that we need to talk about it. And here's a reminder when we get here in the Exodus, talking about that Passover, talking about, all they're talking about is Jesus Christ. They're talking about how he redeemed them and how they killed the lamb and how they applied the blood and how that death angel came across that day and it didn't touch any of us Israelites, not one, because we put the blood over the doorpost and we killed the lamb and we did everything God said, and so God saved us. You see, that's what we need to do today. And God says we need to be born again. God says, whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Come by faith to Jesus Christ. More than a head, but it's in the heart. Sometimes you'll say something to somebody that, oh, you know, that's really great. You know, Larry, that you recognize that you were a sinner and that you need, you know, that's really a very, very bold thing to do. And it's just like they don't accept that, you know, I've never done anything that was wrong. I mean, I haven't robbed a bank. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't robbed anybody. I've been very honest, tried to be very honest all my life and do everything to the best of my ability to care for not only myself, my family, but just mankind in general. I've always tried to treat them fairly. And so people, when they found out that I said, you know, I was a sinner and I need to be saved, well, they, you know, that's good. That is really good. In other words, they don't understand what you're talking about. Well, the Holy Spirit will show you what I'm talking about. And that's the only one that can do it. And so please today look to the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to show you the way of salvation. And He will. I promise you. So please do that today. And now we come on, and it this deal, this what has taken place here, because we deal with it in the 15th verse, how that God has killed the firstborn of Egypt, and the firstborn of Egypt was given to their gods. Well, their gods couldn't protect them. Our gods protected us, and that's what it's saying there in the 15th verse. But all the firstborn of my children I redeemed, everyone. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, but the firstborn and beast alike, but the firstborn of my children and the firstborn of the beasts were spared because of the hand of God. And then it begins, and it says, and it shall be a token for thine hand, and for thy frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And that's the 16th verse. In other words, God is making this so clear, and we are to be telling this story. The Israelites were to tell it to their children and tell it so boldly and so clearly, and we're to wear this as a banner. And I have a band around my forehead that says I'm born again. I've been blood bought by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so, and on our hands and on our forehead, you know, and this is the very place where the old mark of the beast is going to be placed. And so on the hand or on the forehead, those two places where he listens. See, the devil's a mimic. And so as we get closer, and we're very, very close to the time when the tribulation is going to begin, the church will rapture, the time of the tribulation will start. And upon that time, into that time, they'll be handing out this mark. I mean, they're using it right now, a little chip that they have so that you can't, it identifies you. You use chips in animals. And so that identifies the animal that it's yours, if it's a dog or a cat. And so they have portrayed it as something really good. And so by the time the tribulation starts, then it's just going to be a common thing for people. Sure, I'll get the chip, then I don't have to have a credit card, I don't have to have anything. I can go to work, I can buy, my Social Security will be put in the right place, everything will be perfect. It'll just be perfect. Well, that's what the world says. But that mark of the beast, the 666, is what's coming. It's not now. You don't have to worry about if you've got that chip or one of your animals got that chip, it's nothing to you because we're not in the tribulation period. But when that begins, there'll be a special mark given so that you can eat and buy and sell and work and all those things. And when that comes during that tribulation period, when you take the mark, you are the devil's. You've been bought by the beast, and there's no way that you can get away from it. Here, God is saying this testimony, this example of my power and my saving power, I want you to tell your children, and I want them to have it so clear. It's just going to like be they got a mark on their hand, and they're going to have a mark on their forehead showing that I'm born again. And that's great. But the old devil's a mimic, so he does the same thing later on, or tries to anyway. And in verse 17 again, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Now we're going to just stop there for a second because there was a quicker way. There was a quicker way. When you look at the map, there was a quicker way from where they were to go right across, right up the Mediterranean Sea, the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, just go right up that way. It would have been so quick for them to go. And instead of that, God didn't. God brought them on down south because he chose to go in quite a fashion, and it wasn't the quickest way. You'll find many times that when God does things, it's not the fastest way, but it is the best way. Now, what was the reason that he has led these people kind of on a wild goose chase? Why is that? Why did he do that? It's because if he would have taken them the quickest way, number one, the Egyptians would have known it would have been faster for them to get to them, and because they did pursue them here in just a little bit, and any wars or any enemies that they would have confronted going the other way, they would have had to, they would have probably with the war and battles and things like that, Israel would have given up, and they would have said, hey, I'm going home, and they could have. They could have returned home this way, very simply. But the way God led them, they couldn't. And see, that's important. They had left Egypt, and they were not to return to the world. Now, that's an example of what a Christian, what should happen. When you're born again, you leave the world, and you shouldn't return to it. Oh, we have to work in it. But our desires should change, our ways should change, our lives should change. And they do when you become truly born again. And so we have that here. We have a different way. Why didn't they go through the land of the Philistines? When the Egyptians come up against Israel, they ran them back just that way. They took them right down the old coast and run them right back home again later on. And so, but this time God has got to protect them because they're a people, but they're not an organized people by any means. And so God is going to care for them and protect them. And again, it says here, at least pre-adventure, that the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. God did not want that to happen. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now, we're going to probably, that's going to be about the last point we're going to make today, but I want you to see that because when it says harnessed there, it says by five in rank. And when Israel left Egypt, it was not just some mob running. It was very organized, and it says in ranks, by five in rank, and it was just like military. They came out so organized. God doesn't do anything haphazard. God does everything in orderly fashion. So if you see something that isn't orderly, isn't calm, it's not of God. It's not of God. And, you know, I deal with that a lot of times with the speaking in tongues, when people just kind of go berserk in what they say and everything. That's not of God. It never was. That never was. There's a spirit in that person, but I guarantee you, or with that person, but I guarantee you it's not the spirit of God. There's only one spirit left, and that's the devil. And so we need to look at what's right and true, and we need to follow after the Word of God. And so please look to Jesus Christ today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?